Next, we'll consider the situs rules for CGT.
The remittance basis for non-domiciliaries only applies to assets which are situated outside the UK. It is therefore important that we are comfortable with the situs rules for CGT, as these tell us where assets are situated. Assets such as land and buildings are situated in the country in which they are physically located. The same rule applies for chattels, such as paintings or antiques. Therefore, CGT can be avoided on the sale of a painting by a non-domiciled taxpayer who simply takes the asset abroad before its sale. Shares in a company which is incorporated in the UK are situated in the UK for CGT purposes. Shares in companies which are listed or registered companies that were not incorporated in the UK are located where the share register is kept. Goodwill is situated where the trade or the business is carried on. Assets such as gilts or other government stocks, etc., are situated where the issuing government is located. In the majority of cases, the location of an asset for CGT purposes is usually obvious. For taxpayers leaving the UK, the temporary non-residence must be considered. If an individual is not resident in the UK, he is not liable to UK CGT.
Therefore, without anti-avoidance legislation, a taxpayer could emigrate and become non-UK resident, wait until the end of the tax year, then sell an asset and make a capital gain. Because the capital gain is made in a non-resident period, the gain will not be charged to UK CGT. The taxpayer would then spend a year or so abroad, then return to the UK with the proceeds, and no CGT would be payable. This was a very simple planning idea and was used by a large number of clients to shelter substantial capital gains. As a result, in order to counter what HMRC saw as blatant tax avoidance, anti-avoidance legislation was introduced to charge capital gains tax on individuals who became temporarily non-UK resident. These rules can be found at Section 10A TCGA 1992 and apply to individuals leaving the UK on or after the 17th of March 1998. If a taxpayer emigrates from the UK and makes a capital gain in a non-resident period, under general principles, that capital gain will not be taxed. However, the capital gain made in the non-resident period will only escape UK tax if the individual remains non-UK resident for at least 5 complete tax years. For example, if a taxpayer left the UK in 2010-11, gains made after departure will only escape tax if the individual does not become UK resident again until at least 6th of April 2016. Under Section 10A, if the individual returns to the UK and becomes UK resident again within 5 tax years, any capital gains made in the intervening period will all be taxed in the year of return. For example, if a taxpayer left the UK in 2010-11 and resumed residence in the UK in June 2014, any gains made between April 2011 and the date of return will all be taxable in 2014-15. Therefore, to avoid CGT on gains made after departure, the taxpayer will have to spend at least 5 years outside the UK. Not every taxpayer is caught by these rules. Section 10A only applies to individuals who have been resident in the UK for at least 4 of the 7 tax years before their departure. Therefore, individuals who had only been living in the UK for a short period before leaving will not be caught by the rules and will be able to sell assets in the non-resident period completely free of tax. Section 10A only applies to assets which were owned by the taxpayer at the date of his departure from the UK. This means that if an individual leaves the UK, then buys an asset after his departure and subsequently sells it and makes a capital gain, that gain will not be taxed even if he becomes UK resident again within 5 tax years. Any gains in the non-resident period are calculated in the normal way. If a taxpayer makes losses in the non-resident period, those losses are allowable and will be set against gains in the year of return. Gains and losses in the non-resident period are offset in the usual way. Any unused annual exemptions whilst the taxpayer is abroad will be wasted. The annual exemption will become available again once the taxpayer becomes UK resident. Technically, a taxpayer is either resident or not resident for the whole of a tax year. Under general principles, there is no concept of an individual being resident for part of a tax year only. However, extra statutory concession D2 allows a tax year to be split either in the year of departure or in the year of arrival. By splitting the tax year into non-resident and resident periods, gains between the 6th of April and the date of arrival, or between the date of departure and the 5th of April, would not be taxed, as the gains arise in a period of non-residence. Concession D2 is not available to every taxpayer. The tax year of departure cannot be split into resident and non-resident periods if the taxpayer was resident in the UK for at least 4 of the 7 tax years before departure. Therefore, if somebody has lived in the UK for a long period of time before deciding to emigrate, concession D2 is not available to split the year. The individual will therefore be treated as resident in the UK for the whole of the tax year in which they depart. Similarly, the concession is not available in the year of arrival if the individual coming to the UK was resident in the UK in any of the 5 preceding tax years. Therefore, concession D2 will not be available for the vast majority of UK taxpayers. If the concession is not available, all capital gains made in the year of departure or the year of arrival will be fully chargeable. For planning purposes, if your client is thinking of emigrating from the UK in order to avoid a large capital gain, you should advise him to wait until after the following 5th of April before making the gain. Any capital gains made between the date of departure and the following 5th of April will probably be fully taxable, as concession D2 will not be available. Section 10A subsection 2 says that gains in the intervening period accrue to the taxpayer in the year of return. Where the year of return is 2010-11, there are 2 rates of CGT in force: 18% for disposals before the 23rd of June 2010, and either 18% and or 28% for disposals on or after the 23rd of June 2010, depending on the taxpayer's taxable income. Section 10A does not prescribe a precise date for the disposal. However, we need an exact date in order to determine the rate of tax to be applied. A taxpayer is caught by Section 10A only if he has been UK resident in any of the 5 tax years before his return. Where a taxpayer has been resident in any of the last 5 tax years, HMRC will deny split year treatment under concession D2. Therefore, the taxpayer will be UK resident from the 6th of April in the year of return, rather than the actual date of his return to the UK. HMRC therefore accept that a Section 10A gain in 2010-11 arises before the 23rd of June 2010. This means that any Section 10A gains arising in 2010-11 will be taxed at 18%, irrespective of the level of taxable income. This is only an issue for the tax year 2010-11. Section 10A can apply to non-domiciled taxpayers who are resident in the UK and who then become temporarily non-resident. That is, they leave the UK and then resume residence in the UK within 5 tax years. In this case, any UK gains in the intervening period are taxed in the year of return. However, the way that any foreign gains in the intervening period are taxed depends on whether the taxpayer claims to use the remittance basis in the year of return. If the taxpayer is not a remittance basis user, foreign gains are taxed in the same way as they are for UK domiciled taxpayers. Therefore, the foreign gains made in the intervening period are fully taxed in the UK in the year of return. If, however, the taxpayer uses the remittance basis in the year of return, foreign gains in the intervening period are taxed if those gains are remitted to the UK. Therefore, any foreign gains remitted in the period while the taxpayer is temporarily non-resident will be taxed in the year of return. By way of illustration, Florence is domiciled in Singapore. She came to the UK in 2000 on a 6-year work assignment. Her UK contract ended in December 2006, at which point she returned to live in Singapore. In May 2007, she sold some UK quoted shares, making a gain of £50,000.
She had bought the shares in 2001. She paid the proceeds to her bank account in Singapore. On the 1st of March 2010, she was offered a 3-year employment contract in the UK to start in July 2010. In advance of her return, on the 31st of March 2010, she sold an investment property in Singapore, making a gain of £80,000. She had bought the property in 1985. She immediately remitted £45,000 of the proceeds to her UK bank account to fund her living expenses while in the UK. Florence returned to the UK on the 15th of July 2010 and resumed residence. She's not sure whether to make a Section 809B claim for 2010-11. She has foreign income of £6,000 per annum, which she does not intend to remit to the UK. The gains made in May 2007 and March 2010 are not taxable, as both gains arose in a tax year when Florence was non-UK resident. However, Florence is caught by Section 10A TCGA 1992 as she was UK resident for 4 of the 7 years before her departure from the UK, and she left the UK in 2006-07 and resumes residence again in 2010-11, i.e. within 5 tax years, and in the intervening period she made gains on assets she had held since her departure from the UK. The UK gain of £50,000 is chargeable in 2010-11 under Section 10A. The extent to which the foreign gain is taxed depends on whether Florence makes a Section 809B claim to use the remittance basis. If no Section 809B claim is made, the whole of the foreign gain of £80,000 is taxed in 2010-11 under Section 10A. An annual exemption would be available. If a Section 809B claim is made to use the remittance basis, only gains remitted in the intervening period are taxed in the year of return. Therefore, £45,000 is taxed in 2010-11 under Section 10A. No annual exemption would be available. Florence has an unremitted gain of £80,000 less £45,000 being £35,000, which will be taxed when, and if, Florence remits the gain to the UK. There are 2 practice examples to complete this session. Kevin's unremitted gains exceed £2,000. Therefore, the remittance basis will not apply automatically. Kevin has been in the UK for 15 years, so he is long-term resident. However, Kevin's foreign income and gains are not at a level for there to be any benefit in paying the £30,000 tax charge. Therefore, he will not make a Section 809B claim, and his income and gains will be taxed on the arising basis. As a Section 16ZA claim has been made, all his losses will be allowable. His remittances are irrelevant. As no Section 809B claim will be made, Kevin will also receive an annual exemption. The gain of £60,000 on the South African shares is taxable. The loss of £10,000 on the cottage in the UK and the loss of £5,000 on the house in South Africa are both allowable. Deducting the annual exemption gives taxable gains of £34,900. As Kevin is a higher rate taxpayer, CGT is at 28%, giving £9,772. As a Section 16ZA claim has been made, the capital losses of £20,000 on the house in the UK and £5,000 on the villa in Greece are both allowable. The remittance basis has been claimed for 2010-11. This means that foreign gains will be taxed on a remittance basis and that the losses will be set off under the statutory ordering rules in Section 16ZC. £20,000 of foreign gains were remitted. The losses are first set against the remitted foreign gains. As the losses are £27,000, these gains are reduced to nil. The balance of the loss of £7,000 is set against the unremitted foreign gain of £10,000. This reduces the unremitted gain to £3,000. This will be charged when it is remitted to the UK. There is no loss remaining to set against the UK gain of £12,000. As a Section 809B claim was made, no annual exemption is available. Taxable gains are £12,000. As John is a higher rate taxpayer, CGT is at 28%, giving £3,360. That concludes this session on foreign aspects of capital gains tax.